This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
Streaky teams are scary in the NCAA tournament.
On both sides.
On both sides. And if Liberty gets hot, watch out.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Alena Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Danny and Dusty. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com. Alena, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Alena Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater. And by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Alena on 1080. The Fan.
It's hour number three here on Danny and Dusty. Dusty in the tropical flows of Mexico. Jordan Schultz sitting in. Jeff Russ back in the studio holding things down. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Our annual basketball party is back. George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents Fan Madness today and tomorrow at the Stadium Sports Bar and Alena Sportsbook. Dirt and Sprague will be up here in a little bit. As I said, it is me and Jordan Schultz today. Will Ortner will step in tomorrow. Isaac and Suk will be in here. They will go all day today. They will be preempted or post-empted 20 minutes tomorrow because the Oregon Ducks get underway for their tournament run at 6:40 tomorrow at night. Not afternoon, 6:40.
What a setup. It's usually like some Ducks rando 11 o'clock tip or whatever it is in the tournament, but this is probably the best one in memory.
They got a primetime Friday night slot.
That's awesome.
Fan Madness is brought to you by Coors Light and Video Only. Make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Alena Sportsbook. Join us for Fan Madness today and tomorrow. Folks are starting to filter in. It is a grand old time. Seats are filling up. In fact, it is getting tight in here.
The tables are starting. I'm seeing instead
tables, the bars, yeah. All of our little tournament madness chairs, lounge chairs are filling up here.
It used to be two people for table. Now it's like five. They're all full.
It's getting full in here. It's going to be a good old time. And get on down here if you want to get locked in for the day. And we will get to some more tournament basketball as McNeese State is putting a hurting on Clemson right now, up 19 with under 9 minutes to go in the game. But as of right now, the Portland Trailblazers are two games out of a play-in spot. The 10 seed is in range after a 115-99 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. The Blazers get their first win over a team over 11 tries, including last night. They are creeping close, and as you heard Dusty and I talking about it over the last week, the math was not mathing. After the results around the NBA last night, the Dallas Mavericks falling on their face and dropping a game that they had no business dropping, and the Phoenix Suns winning and the Blazers upsetting the Grizzlies, all of a sudden you have a heated, heated race for the 10 seed in the Western Conference and a play-in spot on the line.
It's pretty close, and as a Blazers fan that wants to see them get better, I feel like I myself am kind of sitting on the fence. Should I be rooting for success of this team into the play-in, or should I be mad that they're doing this and maybe not able to get as high of a draft pick as they should? I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this, Danny.
You can feel how you want. Look, I've made no bones about it. My thought process and belief is that they need to add a little bit more talent to this team. But I also talk to these players and I talk to these coaches, and I know for them it means something.
Of course it does. You know, that's why tanking the NBA is so hard.
No matter who you put out there, they're going to try to. I shouldn't say that, because there are teams. Boy, watching that Wizards team, they were not trying.
Utah's pretty good at tanking.
My goodness, the great suck off last night. It was the most important, least important game of all time last night as the Wizards and Jazz faced off, and who can suck more?
I mean, do you try to miss shots at that point?
It just happens.
It's okay. They are just that bad.
It just happens. They're built that way. But the Portland Trailblazers behind Denny Avdia's second game of his career, second game this month of 30-plus points, 15-plus rebounds, 5-plus assists. Denny popped off last night. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in the first half. A 71-point first half for the Portland Trailblazers, in which they seemingly could not miss 14 made threes. They shoot over 50% from 3 in the first half, 14 of 27. And it seemed like they couldn't miss, and they started the game on fire. They came out in the second quarter on fire. They came out in the third quarter on fire. Even they came out in the fourth quarter. In a quarter, they only scored 19 points. They came out firing. And in the post-game comments, I asked Chauncey Billups what he was most impressed with the performance last night. And he said, the fact that we came out and we hit first.
Yeah.
The two previous matchups against the Memphis Grizzlies, they fell down 18-6 and 18-7, and they could never recover. Of course, they got smacked in the opening month of the season by the Grizzlies. A 40-point loss it sent the team spiraling. It was the thing where they were not feeling it, man. And you could just feel this, this is not good. This is a problem that you don't want to see just kind of infect the team. And that team versus the team that you saw last night, same roster, two different teams.
I mean, yeah, without Ja Morant, but it looks like this team actually has some ability to play defense now. And actually, speaking of ability to play defense, let's key in a little bit on Anfernee Simons. He had two really good plays last night, including one steal for a pretty nice, easy dunk for him. That I thought that was a point of contention from Chauncey in the beginning of this season as to why Anfernee Simons maybe couldn't be on the floor as much as he wanted him to, or maybe the Blazers weren't as successful as in some points, even though they're a lesser team, as they should be, because they weren't playing defense. But now I think that's the biggest thing that you can say that is different from the beginning of the season to now, is not just the defensive ability, but really the effort. Whatever you want to say, Chauncey calling them losers, you know, there were a couple of points during the season where it was an obvious point of turnaround where they seemed to like just get it, and all of a sudden they realized, okay, no, we actually do have to put effort in on the defensive end, because that's all it takes. We don't necessarily need to see skill. I mean, we know that there's guys like Kamara, guys like Avdija. We expect Klingon to grow into like a defensive powerhouse for the Portland Trailblazers, but you need guys like Ant to be doing the same thing. And frankly, it increases his value on the open market too, if you still wanted to trade him. But regardless of them playing for the play-in or not, seeing the growth of the team on the defensive end of the floor, I think that was one of the biggest things that you noticed last night for the Blazers.
And Chauncey Billups did highlight Anfernee Simons last night in the post-game comments. He said, you know, hey, look, Ant knows he's going to get hunted.
Yeah.
But I've tried to tell Blazers fans this. Well, why isn't Ant being held accountable? Getting beat and getting hunted on the floor, but competing and being in the right spots and doing the right things, it matters. It just does. And you can argue with me until you're blue in the face, and I just don't care. I don't. Because in talking to the players, they go, look, we know, like, Ant is not the best defender, but it's not for lack of effort or lack of trying or not being in the right space or not competing.
Yeah.
And they know that they have to match that level of intensity. They everything that comes with that, the structure of the defense is built off being in the right place, doing the right things, and competing.
Yeah.
And if you don't do those things, then everything else falls apart around it. The reason Anfernee Simons is hunted is, he's not a great defender, but he also weighs 195 pounds. That's why he's hunted, is because just pound for pound, strength-wise, Everybody in the damn league's bigger than him.
Well, he's a shooter first. It's just like Dame and CJ, but specifically more Dame. Like, you're not gonna... It's just... It's keyed in on the offensive end. There are other guys on the team that are supposed to defend, so what do you want? Anfernee Simons giving 100% effort on the offensive end all the time, which is where the Blazers are gonna need him most, or do you want them, you know, to sacrifice a little bit of that so he can play more defense? You've got guys that can play defense. So, if you're...
And look, and Ant is playing defense. Is it the best defense? No.
But he's trying.
And then that's the thing that matters, and that was what Chauncey Billups was trying to hold accountable with Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah.
And I think you've seen drastic growth from both those guys, understanding what the ask is, what the role is, what the responsibility is, and as they have taken on that role and met expectations, they're getting more leash, they're getting more opportunities because they're understanding that stuff. And that's just part of the growth process. And you're seeing that throughout the team, the defensive ethos of what they are and how they compete. The reason they're able to win that game last night isn't just because their offense is that good in the first half. It's because they hold the Memphis Grizzlies to 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The Memphis Grizzlies hit one shot in the first 11 minutes of the fourth quarter. That is a big, big deal. And now the play-in is within range. And again, Joe Cronin has said, following the trade deadline, he was not going to take it off the table for them. He was going to give them the opportunity. And right now, the opportunity is there. It is a two-game split between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Phoenix Suns right now, and the Dallas Mavericks, who are tied for that 10th spot. Again, I wish that, in my hope, my belief is that they should have gone for lottery odds. They're not. So now you talk about and you look at what they're doing right now, and that's going at the play-in. And right now, the math is mathing.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns have the toughest schedule in the NBA down the stretch. They play two teams under 500 for the rest of the season. The Dallas Mavericks are decimated. They are trying to rush Anthony Davis back from a groin injury. That certainly won't blow up in their face. I mean,
Nico's a smart one down there. He'll be fine. They'll handle it okay.
And a text came in on the fan text line. Can we please stop saying the Blazers are going to give up their draft pick? The Blazers do not give up their draft pick if they make the play-in.
And that's what I was trying to there is a specific situation in which they do, and then they won't if that doesn't happen. So
yes, so if they make the play-in, they would have to win both games as a 9 or a 10 seed to make the actual playoff. If they make the actual playoff, then they would give up their draft pick to the Chicago Bulls that is lottery protected. Because even if you lose, if you go to play-in and lose, you still are in the lottery, which means your pick is lottery protected, therefore you do not convey it. And that will hold true until 2027.
I mean, so there is a chance that the Blazers, if they play well enough, if they go on a run, despite their schedule being a little bit tougher here at the end of the season, playing great teams like Cleveland, I think they have one more against Boston, they end the season against Los Angeles. This ain't easy. Who knows if they're sitting guys at the end of the season or not, but I just, how much of a chance is it that they lose their draft pick? Not much, but ultimately...
It's very small.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, you're looking at, you know, them getting into the play-in and how much this affects the team going towards the future. Do you think, like, a 7 or 8 spot and not getting into the play-in compared to, like, the 13th spot in the draft and getting into the play-in helps this team developmentally more?
It's eye of the beholder.
Okay.
I think the talent level stuff matters more to
for
me.
For sure.
But even though I can disagree with going for the play-in, I do see the value in it. Just talking to the players and how they talk. And the thing I always talk about with young guys is not just minutes, it's minutes that matter.
Yeah.
Being in crunch time situations, playing against good teams and games that matter is real, valuable, tangible stuff. It just is. It depends on how you value and evaluate that. Every front office around the league has a different way of looking at that.
Yep.
And that's the interesting thing about, you know, kind of what they have coming up. We've talked about defense so much and the defensive talisman that they have in Tumani Kamara. There are reverberations around the NBA. Tumani Kamara, defensive player of the year? We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely live at Stadium Sports Bar and Grill here at A&A Sportsbook. Come down, hang out with us. It is a grand old time. Isaac Kasuk will take over here in a little over 40 minutes for primetime. In the meantime, Jordan Schultz in for Dusty Hera, out for the next couple of days because he's in Mexico.
Mexico!
But the Portland Trailblazers have built a defensive identity. And I wanted to dive into this because I've talked to a few national writers and some folks around the NBA about Tumani Kamara and the swell that is building behind him about potentially making an all-defensive team in the NBA. And it's not a foregone conclusion, but it feels closer and closer. I'm currently in the process of writing the 5,000-word write-up on the case for Tumani Kamara. I have, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 players on my list of potential all-defensive players in the NBA. And now, and that's actually missing some because there's actually going to be quite a few that are not going to qualify for the minimum games played or minutes played necessary to make that list. Tops amongst them, Victor Wembanyama, who would be the just runaway winner of Defensive Player of the Year and First Team All-Defense. He is a defense unto himself.
After getting it stolen from him last year, allegedly anyways.
I mean, you know, they just weren't going to give it to a rookie despite
exactly.
Him breaking the defensive mold that we've ever seen in the NBA. With that being said, more than a handful of people have said, I could see Tumani Kamara having Defensive Player of the Year candidacy.
I mean, the candidacy part doesn't surprise me at all. I think that there was, like, no one close to Wemby before he went out as far as Defensive Player of the Year
odds. It's a wide
odds.
Open race.
Yeah, now I'm looking at it as a couple of days ago. It's Evan Mobley, the favorite right now at minus 275. But then he got, like you said, more wide open. Dyson Daniels, Draymond Green. There's a player of guys.
There's been a push for Draymond lately, and I'm wondering if that's the sports books just trying to collect money because Draymond's not winning Defensive Player
I know.
Of the Year.
What is that? Is that, do they just, like, put a name in that people will recognize?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, we like him. We like money. We'll go ahead and take your money, and we'll go ahead and get that. But with that being said, just kind of diving into the numbers and across the NBA in the trackable metrics.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a bunch of the advanced data with access to Second Spectrum and some of that stuff that I'll dive into in the granular. But It's actually pretty damn impressive what Tumani Kamara has been able to do. Besides being one of the most switchable, functional 1-5 defenders in the NBA, this is a guy that can guard Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell on one night and guard Nikola Jokic on the next. Or if you want to take the Denver Nuggets in you know, case in hand, when they played their series before the All-Star break, guarded Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray was not as good in game one of that, and then guarded Jokic in game two of that. And you saw it flip on its head as Jamal Murray went for 55.
Yeah.
The level of impact and defensive capabilities of Tumani Kamara have grown each season in each game.
Tumani reminds me, and he's much better than, but he reminds me of a Nick Batum back in the day where you knew Nick was going to be on the best offensive player on the other team, and that is exactly what the Blazers have in Tumani Kamara. And on top of that, I mean, we were talking a little bit about how undervalued he is. Early second-round pick when he got traded in that DeAndre Ayton deal to Portland, and kind of this unsung hero now all of a sudden exploding onto the scene. I would say that kind of undervalued reasoning, maybe why he won't be necessarily thrown up to the top of the conversation, but he at least should be there. When you look at other names beyond Daniels and Green, like Jaren Jackson Jr., Dort, even Shai Gilgeous is on the list. I don't understand why people aren't talking about not only his like ability to get the ball back to his team, but just the leading in charges, offensive charges taken in the NBA. I think the next guy closest to him is like 5 or 6 behind.
And Brandon Podziemski,
yep. He's such a smart defender on top of that. It's just the IQ with Tumani is so high, and I think that is so much more valuable to the Blazers because they need those hits on those undervalued guys than any other team, and that should throw him enough into the conversation. But just because of that undervalued start, he probably won't be at the top, unfortunately.
The interesting thing about this is when you take a look at this, it becomes why not?
Yeah.
It becomes a why not situation. And when you start diving into the actual data behind stuff, so Dyson Daniels is having an insane season when it comes to steals, leads the NBA by a lot. He is currently at 194.
Okay.
I believe the next closest is at 117.
Jeez.
He is shattering records for deflections. He is currently at 382. No one is within 150 deflections of him.
That is an otherworldly. That's like video game stats.
It is. And he is just a passing lane disruptor, thief of epic proportions. When you look at a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, after Dyson Daniels, SGA is number 2 in combined steals and blocks, or stocks. So the list goes Dyson Daniels, SGA, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brooke Lopez, Jaden McDaniels, Amen Thompson, Jalen Williams, Keon Ellis, Evan Mobley, then Tumani Kamara. And the interesting thing is, once you get past Daniels, you drop off almost 60 combined steals and blocks. And then there's a group of SGA, Jaren, and Brooke Lopez who are within 15 of each other. And then from 163 combined stocks all the way down to 127, which is Ivica Zubac. It's very tight. Tumani Kamara is one stock behind Evan Mobley, one in front of OG Anunoby. He is 2 behind Keon Ellis, 3 behind Jalen Williams. Mm-hmm. 9 behind Amen Thompson. So that's one part of this, the counting stats, blocks, and steals.
Yeah.
But then you get into charges taken, which you talked about. On this list, Brandon Podziemski is not on this list because he's not on my ballot if I had one for Defensive Player of the Year or All-Defensive Team. Tumani Kamara has 27 charges taken. The next closest has 5. Five.
So the gap was wider than I thought.
Okay.
My goodness.
And that is Lu Dort. In offensive fouls drawn, Tumani Kamara leads the league at 76. The next closest is Lu Dort at 51. So if you're talking about Tumani Kamara and Lu Dort as guys that you're looking at as possibly making a first-team all-defense,
yeah,
Tumani is beating him in steals, in blocks, in deflections, and shattering it in charges taken and offensive fouls drawn.
I mean, this also, on top of his value, just kind of, you know, being as somebody that's coming onto the scene more recently, I feel like his uniform, being a Portland Trailblazer, is hurting him because Lu Dort, Shai Gilgeous, Jalen Williams, 3 Thunder players I see just on the top of the favorites to win the Defensive Player of the Year on the betting lines. The fact that Tumani's even below them, yeah, you talk about why not. I guess on the other end, why isn't he being more considered? It's got to be because he's in a Blazer uniform.
Oh, that is a part of it, and you bring up the OKC part of this. OKC, that's what's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out, is because Oklahoma City has by far the best defense in the NBA this year by basically every measure. It's because they have Lou. It's because they have SGA. It's because they have Jalen Williams. They have Chet Holmgren. Yep. They have Alex Caruso. They have Isaiah Hartenstein. They've got so many good defensive players, great defensive players, to be honest, that the likelihood of them getting more all-defensive slots makes you wonder, does that knock to a second team? Does it knock him out? But also the candidacy for Defensive Player of the Year, because you do have some guys that aren't on the board anymore, it becomes a why-not scenario.
It's true.
But he also has an incredibly strong case for being a first-team all-defensive team member.
I think he should
among
be.
Everybody on the list, outside of, again, the Victor Wembanyama types, it's really between him and Amen Thompson as being like the all-around guys that are so disruptive, that are up there in steals, that are up there in blocks, that are up there in deflections, that are up there in all the other categories along with Lou Dort. And if you're the Blazers, why wouldn't you go out there and be like, yeah, he is Defensive Player of the Year because it is so wide open?
I mean, I need to see Amen Thompson up close, but I've seen Tamani up close, and you talk about effort, you talk about basketball IQ. That dude is one of the most keyed-in defensive players that I think I've ever watched. He anticipates, and that's something, you know, you talk about the effort, but the anticipation that he has, it, in my opinion, is second to none. It's why he's so good at drawing charges.
All right, coming up next, we are going to pivot back to everything going on in the NCAA tournament. Bar 2 has texted in. We'll get to that next here on Danny Nets. But first, it's Big Kudo Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
That's right, our annual basketball party is back. George McCoy and Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, presents Fan Madness today and tomorrow at the Stadium Sports Bar and A&A Sportsbook. Dirt and Sprague, me and Schulte today, Ortner in tomorrow. Isaac and Soup will be here shortly for primetime. It is the top location for the two best days of tournament basketball. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Coors Light and Video Only. Make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at the A&A Sportsbook. Come down here, join us for Fan Madness. For all the details, you can go to 1080thefan.com. Bar 2, the CFB Matrix himself, and we call him the CBB Matrix today. He has spoken. Georgia has an offense outside the top 200 and defense outside the top 180. Playing a top 10 Gonzaga offense. Shaking my head. Uga should not be a 9 seed and even managed to work an overrated chance into the text.
I mean, they do look pretty bad. And Gonzaga, people forgot that they were the 8th ranked team, it seems like, coming into the country. So,
well, beyond that, it's crunch time here as McNeese State's lead appears to be disappearing.
Oh, no.
And McNeese player, he's going to be okay. They are currently up 9, which seems nearly insurmountable, but that's what March is about. Over 5-seeded Clemson. It will be our first, not necessarily bracket buster, but our first real upset of the day. Auburn was up against it early against Alabama State. It was a 31-32 game with a minute and 37 remaining in the first half.
And they added 9 or 10 by the end of the first. So theoretically, in 90 seconds here, Clemson could do the same thing against McNeese.
You could see it done, but Auburn tacked on 11 more after that. They finish and cover 83-63. Auburn holds off Alabama State in the second half and gets it done. Again, we are a minute 26 to go. McNeese State at the line, that currently a 10-point lead with a chance to take it to 11 here. And, of course, it's college basketball. Free throws missed.
So I picked Auburn to win the Natty. Who did you pick there?
Florida.
Okay, so you got Florida.
I went
Auburn.
Florida. And that was even with knowing that Cooper Flagg could potentially come back last night. I still went, Florida's just playing really good. They're an older team. And Bar 2 is right. Duke is the only team, and the roar you hear is a run out from McNeese State to pump it up to 12, under a minute going.
I wonder what the late game spread was.
Yeah, I would imagine that McNeese is covered the early spread. I'm
Absolutely.
Not sure what the opening spread or the live spread was, because this was getting tight.
Not now.
Yeah, you're hearing a lot of oohs and ahs as a three goes down for Clemson. A timeout, down 9 with 44.7 seconds to go.
Oh, this is fun.
In the game. And this is what it's all about,
this
man.
This is getting good.
When it starts to tighten up a little bit, What looked like what also might be a potential upset on the board. This is one that I had picked, and Bartu and I and Jordan talked about it in the first half of today's show. VCU and BYU, 11 seed. VCU was up early on BYU. BYU has now taken a controlling lead, a 17-point lead, 56-39, but still a lot of time to go there. 12-10 remaining in the second half.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Early part
VCU.
Of the day, though, is gone pretty chalky.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Auburn game, you said it was close, but they pulled away. It's really, a lot of people thought that this was going to be a chalk tournament. A lot of people were saying, hey, you would probably be smart to put at least three number one seeds in your Final Four. I've seen a lot of prognosticators putting four number one seeds in their Final Four. So I'm not surprised at the start of the tournament, at least how it's gone for it being so chalky so far.
No, and obviously it's not a full-on Rock Bowl. But the Kansas Jayhawks will tip off here in about an hour and a half. They will take on Arkansas. It is a 7-seed Kansas against a 10-seeded Arkansas. And Arkansas yesterday made the announcement, forward Adu Thiro will not be active.
Oh,
that is a big, big hit for the Razorbacks and John Calipari. While inconsistent, very important to that team. And while Boogie Fland is set to make his return for them, he has not played in what I believe is 2 months. It is going to be a bit of a rust period for him, and it's unclear about how much or how often he is going to be playing. Beyond that, you get a matchup between Cal and Bill Self. You've got a massive matchup, coaching matchup, and this was one where I went against my head. My head said pick Kansas. Even knowing Thiro is out, even knowing Boogie Fland was making his return after being out for so long, I did pick the upset here. Going with Arkansas, and my goodness. Clemson hits the three. It is a six-point game, 65-59 with 38 seconds remaining. It is a full-court press and a near turnover from McNeese State doing the live play-by-play here, but McNeese State is able to break the press and get the dunk.
Man.
It is an eight-point game, 28 seconds to go.
That seals it.
Well, if they could get a good look at a three, which they do, and
no
it
way.
Is in!
No way.
It is a five-point game. Timeout, 22.3 seconds to go. Clemson is not dead, folks. And we have our first roars from the Stadium Sportsbook here.
Half the crowd
at
screaming.
A&A.
Half
and
roaring.
This is what it's all about. Madnessing. Madness is madnessing here. Big play after big play after big play. And this is the volatility of college basketball that makes this tournament so great. We have not had these moments as of yet, and we are getting them in spades. Had Clemson not gone just ungodly cold in the first half, we might have ourselves a game here. It is still on the line.
The roars that changed to cheers and then the back to the roars of disappointment, just so good right now. And yeah, I've got McNeese going to the Sweet 16 in my bracket. So if Clemson gets back, I'm probably busted because, I'm never smart. You know what? I did have one perfect day one in my history of brackets ever. I wish I would have put some money on that, but I was so happy, I think, in like 2018 to get every single pick right on day one, but that I've never done that since. So.
Well, Bartu has texted it again in the Georgia-Gonzaga matchup. Georgia, the line, second half line is 42.5. Georgia has hit 43 or more points 3 of 17 times since January 1st. The Zags have allowed over 43 just 3 times as well in that same period. Hammer the under 42.5 for the Bulldogs here in the second half as they take on Gonzaga. We are at a 5-point game now with 12-seeded McNeese State up 67-62 with 19.9 seconds to go. Clemson tried to get the steal after the inbound. They intentionally foul, sending McNeese State to the line. They are in the double bonus. It is not the one of one, but the front end of the free throw is missed. It is still on par to be a two-possession game regardless after the free throw. And you can see the nervousness. The player from McNeese State just winked at his teammate at the free throw line and said, I'm good.
Nope.
And he is in fact good, knocks down the free throw. Clemson now with the opportunity, under 19 seconds to go, needs a three here. You cannot get anything else. It is up.
Oh,
and it
my
is
God.
Good again. 68-65. 11.9 seconds to go.
Just fear in McNeese's eyes.
Instant foul, and they are going to play the foul game.
Oh, my God.
Three-point game, 68-65 in the second half. 10.6 seconds remaining. Clemson, McNeese State. I hesitate to go to a break here because of how this game is going.
They were down by 20 at one point. Clemson had, as Dave Bartu put it when he was on, a football score to end the first half.
It was absolutely egregious.
That's crazy.
I'm going to take the risk here. Jeff Russ, let's go to break and see if we can catch this on the back end here on Danny and Dusty. Danny the Fan.
It's time for Legends of Hoop, an inside look at the college basketball championships. Brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel, within winning distance.
Paul against P.J. Tucker, two of the oldest players in the league.
Momo demolishes the Knickerbockers.
Look, I know this is supposed to be a college segment, but when somebody does something never before seen in the NBA, he becomes a legend of hoop. Unconscious and with no conscience, Spurs forward Sandro Mamu Kelechvili in 19 minutes off the bench last night in a win over the Knicks, shoots 13 of 14 from the field, 7 of 7 from beyond the arc, 34 points, including 21 in the fourth quarter. Those 34 points, the most ever scored in an NBA game in fewer than 20 minutes. He also grabbed 9 rebounds. Prior to last night, his season high was 14 points. Legends of Hoop, brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel. Escape to Legends Casino Hotel within winning distance. Just a short drive to Toppenish, Washington. The ultimate destination for fun and relaxation. LegendsCasino.com.
As we wrap up day one for Danny and Dusty, a Schultze edition with Jeff Russ back in the booth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Southland Conference has defeated the ACC in tournament play for the first time ever. McNeese State pulls the upset, 69-67 over Clemson, and with that, only 5.7% of brackets are left. The first bracket buster of the tournament has occurred, and per CBS Sports research team Matt Norlander, McNeese beating Clemson means the ACC can only have at most two teams left in the round of 32,
yikes,
which would tie for the league's fewest teams standing this early in the NCAA tournament since the field expanded to 32 teams in 1975.
I thought you were all a powerhouse over there.
We are just getting underway here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill for Fan Madness. It's been a good day already. It was a slow start to the tournament here for us. A lot of chalk. Our one early upset, as it were, mathematically. Creighton knocking off Louisville. Otherwise, the favorites have held steady until just moments ago, as McNeese State, after losing their coach, Will Wade, to North Carolina State with a statement win over the ACC's Clemson Tigers, 69-67, in a hell of a close to a game. It got dicey.
I mean,
it got dicey.
It was a nice Colt Prenter filled morning. You got to watch a little bit of the Bobo success for High Point against Purdue, excuse me. But that got the afternoon started off right. I see people filing in, and they got here just in time. And it's just fun. My bracket's still good, thank God. But it's just fun to see all this, and it's fun to be a part of Fan Madness again. This is, like I said earlier in the show, the best event that we do.
It's absolutely awesome. My bracket suffered its first loss with Clemson. Otherwise, I'm still good. I have a reeling suspicion Kansas and Arkansas might bite me. I did pick Arkansas to upset Rob's Jayhawks, despite my better judgment. I blame my attachment to Boogie Fland. It is what it is. I'm a Boogie Fland truther, despite him being a small guard and me not really liking small guards as a projection in the NBA. I saw that dude at Hoop Summit. I watched him play during the season before he broke his hand, and I am a Boogie Fland believer. I think he's a combination of Mike Conley and Darius Garland. He, despite weighing maybe 180 pounds soaking wet, he has got that dog in him. But coming up next, we do have Rob, who's Kansas Jayhawks will tip off here in about an hour and, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I couldn't pick against them just because of Rob.
Hey, look, I mean, I may have done it just to be an instigator. And, of course, Big Sook is here ready to take over for primetime. Isaac and Sook wearing his Brigham Young shirt as BYU is currently taking care of business against VCU.
They made it a little closer, though. Okay, 12-point game now. It was down to 10 a second ago. Now 64-52.
And there's still a lot of time left in that game. 7:48 remaining. Gonzaga, Georgia at the half. 48-27. Gonzaga got out early and often, as Bartu texted in. Hammer the under on the second half over of 42.5 for Georgia. They've done it 3 out of 17 times since January 1st. The Gonzaga Bulldogs have allowed 43 only 3 times. Since January 1st. The numbers and the matrix is matrixing very hard. That'll do it for us today here on Danny and Dusty. We appreciate everybody for joining us. Big shout out to the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill here at A&A. George McCoy and Warren Allen, attorneys at law. Coors Light, video only. We will keep it rolling. Schulze, thank you for stepping in, brother.
Appreciate you, man. It was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. We will be joined by Will Ortner tomorrow. The guys from No Ceilings will check in for some NBA draft prospect talk. We'll have Kevin Pelton, the machine, on at 2 o'clock joining us to talk about what he sees from college prospects, what the projections look like going forward for some guys we can expect in there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's all about. Come out and join us. We'll be here the rest of the night tonight and into tomorrow, starting with Dirt and Sprague, bright and early at 6 in the morning at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. For Schulze, for Rusty back in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. It's time for primetime. Isaac and Sook for four hours from their mouths to your ears here on primetime here on Danny and Dusty. Everybody take care. Have a wonderful day. Talk soon. Bye.
How you doing?
I got a chubby right now.